You're listening to 1001 Album Club, where each episode we discuss a different album from Robert Emery's book, 1001 Albums, It's Here Before You Die.
Come on, man.
And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback.
All right, for this episode, we'll be talking about LL Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out. In the room, I have Rob.
Hey, buddy.
And on the line, I have Ben.
Hello.
Mama Said Knock You Out is the fourth studio album by the American rapper LL Cool J. It was released on September 14th, 1990 on Def Jam, Columbia Records, and it was produced mostly by Marley Marl. And the genre is Golden Age of Hip Hop. I'm going to read from Steve Huey from All Music Review. Increasingly dismissed by hip-hop fans as an old-school relic and a slick pop sellout, LL Cool J rang in the 90s with Mama Said Knock You Out, a hard-edge artistic renaissance that became his biggest-selling album ever. Part of the credit is due to the producer Marley Marl, whose thumping, bass-heavy sound helps LL reclaim the aggression of his earlier days. Mama Said Knock You Out isn't quite as hard as Radio, instead striking a balance between attitude and accessibility, but its greater variety and more layered arrangements make it LL's most listenable album, as well as keeping it in line with more contemporary sensibilities. Marl's productions on the slower tracks are smooth and soulful, but still funky. As a result, the ladies' man side of LL's persona is the most convincing it's ever been, and his ballads don't feel sappy for arguably the first time on record. Even apart from the sympathetic musical arrangements, LL is at his most lyrically acrobatic, and the testosterone-fueled anthem are delivered with a force not often heard since his debut. The album's hits are a microcosm of his range. The Boomin' System is a nod to bass-loving b-boys with car stereos. Around the Way Girl is a lush, winning ballad, and the title cut is one of the most blistering statements of purpose in hip-hop. It leaves no doubt that Mama Said Knock You Out was intended to be a tour de force to regain LL Cool J's credibility while proving that he was still one of rap's most singular talents. It succeeded mightily, making him an across-the-board superstar and cementing his status as a rap icon beyond any doubt. All right, what do we think of LL Cool J? Mama Said Knock You Out.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, a little long for me. A little long in the tooth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was feeling that. Okay. As well,
I thought the second half was okay. Not as strong as the first.
I definitely got there. Yeah, after Mama Said Knock You Out, I was like, okay, next one.
Yeah.
And the next one, I was like, oh wait, hold on, and then just kind of, you're right, kind of stepped.
And we were
down.
Talking maybe it was like a production issue, but I mean, yeah. Marley Marl is he's very good.
I think it just kind of stacked them. The way they stacked them probably wasn't the best, because you're coming out, I mean, the way it comes out, Boomin' System, Around the Way Girl, it mixes it up really good. Eat 'Em Up, Chill, Mr. Goodbar, and then once you get to like Murdergram, you're like, all right, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like getting really into it, cheesy rap blues, and then I really like Farmer's Boulevard, and then Mama Said Knock You Out, I was like, all right, we're at the top here. And then when it comes to Milky Cereal, I was like, ooh, really? And then after that, I was like, Jingling Baby, which was okay. It was pretty good. But then to the Break of Dawn, 6 minutes, it just, yeah, it kind of.
Just
like,
about every song on this record, there's 14 tracks. Almost every one is 4 minutes or longer.
Yeah,
I feel like a few of these could have been like 2.5 minute long songs to save this from being over an hour long.
Yeah, but he comes from that old school party jam. Keep the party going, you know.
Well, if he's really old school, it should be under 45 minutes long.
True, true. But, you know, it kind of does, you know, things kind of flow for, yeah, you're right, a little bit longer. Although I will say Mama Said Knock You Out is almost 5 minutes and it doesn't feel like 5 minutes.
No, it does not.
No, it does not.
You know, that's the longest song on the album. No, sorry. Jinglin' Babies is like 7 seconds longer.
Growing up a dorky white kid in the middle of Indiana, I was not that familiar with LL Cool J's 80s presence. I mostly knew of LL Cool J as like 90s pop star.
Yeah.
You know? So like I think I need to go back and listen to Radio because I feel like I'm missing the reference here.
Yeah. Just imagine he's like the kid hanging around Run DMC.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. You know, like
go watch Crush Groove. Yeah. You'll get the feel for it.
All right.
So, and he is so young. I mean, he's young here too.
Yeah.
It's, I think he was one of the youngest, you know, rappers to receive all sorts of awards. So
yeah, him and the Beastie Boys.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy how much of a career he's already been considered a sellout, even though, you know, it's like he's only had like a 4 albums, you know, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So LL Cool J is 22 years old when this comes out, and this is his 4th album. That's wild.
Yeah, that's some Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, or Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, that is, it's cool, though, because it is really the, I mean, I want to say kids, but the, yeah, younger generation, like, really coming up and doing something new, right? It's in this book, so... and it also shipped 2 million copies.
That's nothing to sneeze at,
that
man.
That is good. That's really good.
And his, I really do like his, as a person in their 40s, I really do like that LL Cool J's flow.
It's good.
Yeah, it's very good. He's got a, I enjoy the cadence and the delivery.
It's classic. It's like a rapper's rapper. So, like, and I wasn't surprised when I was reading things like about how like Run the Jewels named themselves after like a reference in Cheesy Rap Blues, and other, I don't know, just the people that were that were citing this as like one of the most important albums ever tend to be like serious classic practitioners of the art of rap, you know?
Yeah.
It seemed.
And those people would have been catching this at the time in their youth where this would have just like sparked the fire and gone on to become those like luminaries and post 90s hip hop.
Yeah. So just to give you some context here, you know, he's coming up under Run DMC, who is, you know, big, brash, braggadocious, whatever you want to say, you know, the rocking hardness of Run DMC. And I have a quote here says, yet just as soon as Smith had established his celebrity as rap's toughest sounding teenager, he abruptly changed directions with I Need Love, the biggest selling single from his sophomore LP, 1987's Bigger and Deafer. I Need Love was improbably a rap ballad that paired a sensitive Smith lyric over a synthesized keyboard slow jam rising to 14 on the Billboard Hot 100. And the tune unearthed the potential for marrying rap with the softer side of contemporary rhythm and blues. So then it's like he just got to this place where he's, you know, considered the man, right? The protege, the young kid that finally made it. And then he does this song and everyone's like, really? Like, is that what you're
but
doing?
But at the same time, the marriage of rap and like sexy R&B was like the bread and butter of the next decade.
Yeah, totally.
I represent you Queen. Know? She was raised out of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like that was his, you know.
Absolutely. But I guess I'm just, you know, emphasizing that. So when he comes out with this album and it's Mama Said Knock You Out, don't call, you know, first line, don't call it a comeback. I've been here.
For beers.
Mm-hmm.
4 beers. Yeah, and that was it his grandma?
His grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
It was his grandmother that said knock them out.
Because he was worried about the gangster rap.
Like, knock him out, Todd.
Well, yeah. I mean, you come up from a certain frame of a reference, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like you're looking at Public Enemy. You're looking at NWA. You got to consider like what you want to do. Do you how do you fit in the current state of things? Just like people had to do, you know, we're going to mention it in a year or two when grunge comes out. Like, all those people had to, like, figure it out. Like, all right, what are we doing now? Are we going to adapt to this? Or are we just going to keep doing what we're doing? So, and then, of course, he's conflicted because people have considered him, all right, well, I guess he's already gone on to do pop R&B and stuff like that, so... But he does a great job, I think, at this record. It brings all of those things kind of together. So I think that's what I was most impressed with this record is it has hard edges, but at the same time it does have the other pop elements that, you know, it's like a mix. It's a good mix.
I think you said it very well there.
Yeah. I do not like There's Milky a few cereal. Songs. Mr. Goodbar's okay.
I said Milky Cereal.
Cereal. Yeah, I do not like when he repeats just the chorus. So, like, Eat 'Em Up and Chill. Like, when he's just like, chill.
I like that, personally.
That is a good backing, but then it gets a little repetitive because then he does Milky Cereal, and then he's just like, Milky Cereal. And then it's, you know, Jinglin' Baby kind of has the same thing where it's like, Jinglin' Baby. You know, I understand the repetition, the sort of like getting into it, but there was something about it that like just was hitting my ears wrong. And I was like, oh.
Ben, in case you were confused, Milky Cereal to you would be Melky Cereal.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. Got that Northern Indiana, Southern Michigan dialect.
So wait, you say Malky? Malky?
Milk. Milk. I grew up saying milk, like M-E-L-K. Yeah, milk.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know it was weird until I moved to a different town when I was 18, and then it's the first thing people were saying.
Someone made fun of me at a very young age when I said warsh. And then I was a little like put off and like embarrassed, but then I was like, oh, well, I just learned the correct pronunciation. I mean, someone called us out for saying, what was it? Folk? Yeah, folk.
Folk.
I stand by folk.
Instead of folk.
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 They say don't pronounce the L.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The word is folk, like the root of... Like folklore and just folk tales and folk music. And I grew up saying folk, and the people around me say folk. Folk, you can't mispronounce it. It's
Porky Pig. That's all folks. Folks.
Folks.
Oh, does he say folks? Oh, shit.
I don't know.
Shit.
No. Now it's a Berenstain Bears.
Oh, God, situation. I'm in a rabbit hole. Help.
Nah, keeping the L. Talk about guns, poke it over lobby. Got enough cash to make a whole damn army. I can't hold back the way that I feel. Cause when I bust around, it's like you're slipping on banana peels. You like fruitcake, your fruit cocktail. Versatile, now I'm taking your female. All of a sudden, you're so proud of black. A baseball hat, but you ain't saying jack. The river is back, and you can't escape. Cause one of my records will sell more than your whole tape. I want beef.
We're on Murdergram.
Hell
right
yeah,
now.
We are, man. I've been trying to figure out what that sample in the background is. I've heard it other places.
Yeah, it's Public Enemy. I mean, it's a James Brown horn screech So that is
So Nation of Millions is what that's from. Okay,
100%. Yeah, that's the horn sample. I applaud him or Marley Marl, whoever is, you know, picking up on that because they're like, hey. Public Enemy, this is the shit. Like, yeah. Let's get this. And they kind of recognize that's, you know, the way to do it. But I loved Murdergram. Thought it was great.
I think it's a great song. Good and upbeat.
Is the good bar his dick? Or is it like he's good at doing bars, like lyrically, like 12-bar blues?
I believe the bar is his dick. He's Mr. Good Dick.
Yeah, it's kind of. When I first read the title, Mr. Goodbar, I'm like, oh, that's a cool nickname for a rapper who like does like good bars. But that I was listening to him, I'm like, I don't think that he's talking about his rap skills here.
Goodbar is considered a realistic description, an attitude, presence of physicality of a member of a real man. Yeah.
So a member of a real man? Okay.
Yeah. Trying to keep it classy for the kids.
Hey,
we're listening to LL Cool J. It's for the kids, you know.
For the Utes.
Yeah. So Marl actually started off as a block DJ.
Hell yeah.
He became a producer after bands would show up and use his equipment, you know, plug in his equipment, and then when the band started showing up just all the time, he was like, well, all right, well, I'll start engineering the tracks, and then he just expanded his production and discovered drum sampling.
By accident?
Yeah. He tried to sample vocal and missed, getting the snare drum instead. When he played it back, he realized that he could create entire tracks out of drum bits from James Brown Records. So,
yep. I don't know how he had access to a Fairlight CMI, but that's what he was playing with when that happened.
I have no idea.
That's cool. Is that one of like the 25 Fairlight CMIs?
It must have been like a college thing. Or like at a, or he was just at a studio. I don't know, but
yeah,
that's a,
yeah, probably pretty rare around that time.
For sure. Still are.
Yeah, that's true. It's like they never.
No.
Became.
If it cost $100,000, all you need to make is 20.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Is there some kind of like software plugin for like to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. I mean, any synthesizer that's been made, you can get software.
I've got one on my phone that was $9.
You can do all
you've got that. You've got a Fairlight CMI on your phone?
Yeah. If I want the full access to it, though, I have to pay another
$50.
Man,
that's how they get you.
They really jacked it up.
I mean, you know, if someone does the work, I'm not going to discount it. Yeah. But I'm a hardware sampling boy. Yeah.
Beats spending, what, $100,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have watched a few over quarantine. I watched more than a couple like people trying to rebuild a Fairlight on YouTube, and wow. It is it's a thing.
I bet.
What do you guys think of the backing tracks? We're talking about this flow. I think we're all kind of
I think Marley Marr is a fucking contender, man. Like he's very, very, very good. I didn't really look up too much as to what he what other things he produced.
Oh, Marley Marl?
Yeah.
It was Eric B. and Rakim. I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the beats on this album are good, but I'm also studying this album the same week that I'm studying some shit by the Bomb Squad.
Right.
Which,
yeah. I mean, well,
which it's just hard to fuck with, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. We're getting a lot of the rap albums, and it is cool for me to A-B test, you know, like same time, what was this producer doing versus this producer?
This is way cleaner, though, than what the Bomb Squad was doing. Like, this is not nearly as sample dense, but there's enough things going on it to make it an interesting beat. You know, if you don't have the ability to, like, manipulate 60 different sounds simultaneously, you're not, I don't think that he was on that level
And there's like multiple members of the Bomb Squad.
Yeah,
for sure. I just found out that he was once a rival of KRS-One.
Marley or Cool James?
Marley.
Oh, how
those ladies do love Cool James.
They do. I did love the write up them saying that this might be the first, you know, instance where his ballads sound convincing, you know, his romantic persona sounds convincing. Instead, it doesn't sound sappy.
Well, it's because his balls dropped.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, hard to sound convincing doing a romantic ballad when you're 17.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess that's true.
Did you know that LL Bean stands for Ladies Love Bean?
Fuck you.
All right, I'm leaving that in.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, so we're on Cheesy Rap Blues or Run. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Run the Jewels.
Run the Jewels, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the laid-back approach. I was kind of happy to have... I mean, I don't know if it's a throwback at this time. When did... let's see. Yeah, well, no. Like, 4 years. That's not enough time from, like, Raisin Hell.
No.
To, like, have a... To be considered, like, a sort of a retro throwback. But it is, you know... I guess it's kind of keeping that spirit alive.
Yeah.
I guess it shows that there's still a place for that. It doesn't have to, like, everything doesn't have to just move automatically to, you know, gangster rap or this thing. Yeah.
I mean, obviously this thing moved 2 million units.
2 million units. Like,
there was a market for it.
Yeah, very popular. Title song reached number 17 on Billboard Hot 100, certified gold, obviously. LL Cool J won Best Rap Solo Performance at the Grammy Awards 1991. Also, he pulled off a very memorable performance of the song on a season 2 episode of MTV Unplugged in 91. It featured De La Soul, MC Light, and A Tribe Called Quest. After doing the silky, mellow version of Jinglin' Baby, he took off his shirt and blasted into Mama Said Knock You Out. MTV replayed the clip many times.
I don't remember ever seeing that.
I think I remember.
He's shirtless and sweaty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They called it a very sweaty performance. sweaty performance.
So what is an unplugged set for hip-hop
trying to remember that too. It has
it's cool.
to
be. He's rapping over a beat, you know?
Yeah. So like, is someone just playing a beat?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I haven't watched it since the 90s, but I think just someone.
You could do like, acoustic like, though.
Yeah, like for
someone
sure.
could style, drum, you know? Yeah.
I mean, the samples are samples of drum sets.
Yeah. No, certainly.
Yeah.
People still can play drums. I'm not discounting that. Rise, surprise, and I advise you all to stand back and peep. Don't sleep or doubt. My skill get ill. I turn the mother out. I'm top notch. You're playing hopscotch. Now I'm a dude. You want a body? People watch. You're real funny. You really tried to go for yours. But I know why. You ain't handled no before. So you tried and lied to drain my fame. This ain't a game. Yo, you know my name. Innovating, devastating. And don't want a single now. Dance in my remix single.
Go ahead, baby. Yeah, Farmers Boulevard with the Big Money Grip Bomb HIC.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I liked having the variety too.
I liked Farmers Boulevard. That was a standout track for me.
I was surprised he didn't bring on a couple people to do some other songs. It's mainly just him.
Yeah, I guess he.
One thing I was really impressed with is it sounds like Mama Said Knock You Out when he does the vocals for that song, completely different than the rest of any other song on this album.
Yeah, for sure.
It's stressed. It sounds like aggressive. It has a certain cadence that is really interesting that I wish he kind of would have, you know, pursued a little bit more like on some other songs. It's really good, which, you know, that's why it's the standout track. But I was kind of surprised that he kind of just, like, did it for that one track and then was like, for the rest of it, I'll just kind of keep it light and loose. Mm-hmm. But it does show some versatility. I think that's one of the things. I was a little hard on Ice Cube when we were doing America's Most Wanted. But I think thinking about this album is, like, he has, like, kind of... like one mode.
Mm-hmm.
You either like, you know, Ice Cube's mode or you don't, but it's cool when someone can, you know, mix it up a little bit too.
Yeah, he was also 19.
Oh, of course. No.
He was all just of these figuring it out, man.
This is all so much better than I will ever do in my entire life.
For sure. Yeah, these kids are really got something going on. You know who did like this album?
Do I can you? Guess.
It's Robert Christgau.
Yep.
Yeah.
And to quote him, "This isn't groundbreaking like Nation of Millions, but it shouldn't be pigeonholed as a terrific rap record. It's an exceptionally consistent and entertaining record, mm-hmm. period. On par with Goo or Freedom or Rock and Roll or maybe even Sign of the Times. hilariously unreconstructed. It takes shit from no one and gives shit only in the most high-spirited way. A.
Amazing. Ben, you were mentioning that 6 minutes of pleasure is...
It's 4 minutes and 34 seconds long.
Yeah.
I think that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Just let that beat roll, man, for like another minute and a half.
Mama Said Knock You Out is just
so good.
But you hear his vocals, even on like Murdergram when he has a little bit, it's a little more aggressive. It's mm-hmm. not like stressed. Like this feels different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wouldn't mind hearing a little bit more of this LL Cool J.
Yeah.
Angry LL.
Yeah. Even on something like Illegal Search, I was looking for like, I really like his.
You like the edge.
I like his personas. I mean, he obviously, you know, became an actor, is very successful. And so he can do this. Like he can do these different.
Name more types. Than one Ice Cube. Name one. Why am I confused?
LL Cool J.
Yeah, it's a Cool J thing. Because the only thing that pops up is
Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea for me.
H2O. Halloween.
Yeah, I guess he is in H2O.
He's in Baps.
Isn't he on like some?
He's on like, NCIS.
Like, one of those acronym shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's been on a lot.
All right.
Should we talk about Deep Blue Sea?
No, man. Patreon listeners, we're going to have Kyle do an entire synopsis of the movie Deep Blue Sea and the rap Deepest Bluest. My hat is like a shark's fin.
My head's like a shark's
fin. It's his hat. It's a snapback that's like a shark's fin.
That video is super weird. Oh,
it's bonkers. That movie's bonkers.
Anne has called it the Citizen Kane of shark movies.
Huh.
Wait, what about Jaws?
I know.
Nope. Is it Rennie Harlan that directed that?
Yes.
And like there were like the sharks, like his first, he had plans for like rocket sharks. Like, yeah, no, that
it's the most insane.
It's insanity. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, you really should.
All right. We're going to set up a movie night.
It's campy fun.
All right.
How do you feel about it?
Man, I like it a lot. You know, but I mean, we're at Mama Said Knock You Out, and it does kind of go down a little bit in quality, but honestly, like that it for the first, you know, 8 songs, like 8 out of 14 is absolutely a positive for me. So yeah,
you didn't like any on the second
no
song?
I did
Jinglin' Baby.
I did like Jinglin' Baby. I did also
Power of God.
No, I really did not like the okay. Power of God. That's the one where I was like, huh,
yeah,
huh. I find issue with like a lot of braggadocious talk of like, you know, the just kind of being a slut, being a I'm fuck all these chicks, and then like, oh yeah, I told Satan to get out of here, guy. Just there's a cognitive dissonance, and I, you know, that just isn't there for. But you know, he's fucked. He's 22. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
I feel kind of medium about this album.
Mm-hmm.
I don't dislike it. I think it's good. I don't think necessarily maybe for me, it's essential listening. I don't know if this is one of the 1001 albums I absolutely must hear before I die. But like I said, I didn't dislike any of it. And it's got, I think, some really strong tracks on it. I'm just going to be landing on a neutral.
Is that what you were?
No, I was positive.
Oh, okay.
But then we have Milky Cereal. Now I'm like,
I know. Yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah, I'll go positive. I think there's enough, even though I'm not a big fan of some of the like hooks and things like that. I think some of the production really good. His rhythm, his rhyme is on point for this.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely shows that he's still. At this time, still has tons to offer in terms of, you know, premier like rapper. So, yeah.
Doesn't Milky Cereal just sound like a track that De La Soul would have thrown away?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It kind of does.
Yeah, you're kind of right.
And he's like, hey, guys, I got an idea. Oh, no, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get this out of here.
No, yeah. I do kind of.
I'm glad, like, I got that out of my system. Let's move on.
Yeah, it's a bit of a jokey, and I was.
Like, even the beat behind it.
The beat is weak, yeah.
Oh, but it sounds like a Prince Paul beat from, like, a Three Feet Hat and Rising. Oh,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, but they would have thrown in more samples.
Oh, certainly.
They would have had, it would have been a little more complex. They would, like, cut to something else. I think that's the one thing that this album, it doesn't have that. When you get to side two, it has these, like, all right, we got the loop, and then there's, like, a little variation on that, but there's nothing to kind of pull you into, like, a like typically with rock music, it would be like a bridge or something, yeah. You know, that would kind of pull you into a something else. And with Milky Cereal, you're kind of like, oh, okay, this is it, huh? Like, you get the joke, you know, it's all about different types of cereal, and then he just is repeating, like, Milky Cereal,
it's
for, like,
really about different types of girls.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you get it, Birch? Do you get it, Birch? What are we talking about next?
Next time we'll be talking about Public Enemy, Fear of a Black Planet.
People everywhere, the trunk full of amps, ain't no room for a spare. Big beats bumping with the bass in back. All the sophisticated suckers catch a heart attack. Cause they don't understand why I act this way. Pumping up the funky beat until the break of day. It's because I want attention when I'm riding by. And the girls be on my jock cause my systems fly. Cars ride by with the booming systems. Cars ride by with the booming systems. Just front.